All right. Y'all scooch in. There's a lot of people coming in here. So. All right, so we're going through on these Sundays and Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, going through all these characters, people that are around the birth of Christ, all of the things that are going on with Jesus Christ when he's born. And so this one, we're going to talk about Mary this afternoon, just a little bit, and her faith particularly, because as we talked about this morning, you know, folks get blessed and used by God by faith, because of faith, and so that's just trusting what God said. And so Mary's no different, and so God's opinion of Mary essentially is that she's a very favored person. She's somebody that God appreciates, and so Luke chapter 1 is where we are, and starting in verse 28, and we're just going to hit some highlights about her faith and why she was used of God the way she was. And, you know, she's not the mother of God. She is the mother of Jesus Christ. She's not, you know, it's the body and the man Jesus Christ that she's the mother of. And so, anyhow, Luke chapter 1, starting in around verse 28, I think, we'll read a couple verses. It says, the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. That is good to note, because that's God's opinion of this lady. Highly favored. Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutations this should be. It's like, what is this? What is happening here? So that's the start. We'll pray, and I'm going to give you just a few things here about her faith, and hopefully it's helpful. So let's pray and talk about Mary's faith. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Thank you for each soul that's here this afternoon. I do pray that you'd help us get through these words and just learn what you'd have us to learn and to know, and so apply them the way that you'd have us to apply them. So I pray you'd help us with these things, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so it is apparent from the Bible, anyway, the Bible's testimony of Mary, that she is someone who God appreciates and favors. That's the word, favored. And there's not really any elements of luck when it comes to service to God or God's appreciation. According to the Bible, God's appreciation for people is not about luck. It's not about where you're born. It's not about randomness or chance, or, you know, you got the luck of the draw or something like that. The Lord doesn't favor people by accident, and really neither do you. You and I don't do that either. We appreciate certain people because of certain things, and the Lord's the same way in that. And so when he finds people willing to really pay a price for the truth and pay a price for righteousness, and people who love God, he finds a vessel that's really ready to receive some blessing, something from him. And so you're not given a whole lot of facts about Mary, other than when it says that she is somebody that's favored by God. That tells you a lot about her as a person and her life and her character and things like that. So, like I said, you're not given a whole lot of facts about her, but this divine assignment that she's going to get will make her probably the most famous woman in history, just about. And so you're just given God's opinion about her and her life up to this point. Like I said, she's highly favored by God, and so Mary's life has been obviously a very faithful life, that the Lord is willing to entrust this huge responsibility to and bringing forth the Son of God, Jesus Christ. So that's God's opinion. That's something that's worth noting. You know, you want to line up your opinions, your perspective on things, kind of with the Lord's perspective on things. And this is, he's going to tell you about somebody that he appreciates. and somebody that was used in a big way in history. So this is God's opinion. You skip down to verses about 30, 38. She's told about the birth of Jesus Christ. She's engaged to Joseph. They're not married yet. And this is what's said. Verse 37, for a little bit of context, it says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." That's a response to what she said. She says, "How's this going to be? How can I have a child? I haven't known a man. How's that possible?" And so the answer is, with God, nothing's going to be impossible. Nothing should be impossible. And Mary says this in verse 38. It says, "And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." She's talking about herself. "Be it unto me according to thy word." So whatever you want to do with me, Lord, do that with me. That's if I'm going to be a vessel for bringing into this world the Son of God, what a responsibility, but what a blessing. So she says, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. And so you see some things about her faith. This is what she believes God. She just takes God at his word, listens. And there's a few things you can kind of derive from her life about her faith. First, she is someone who is anticipating a Messiah. And also today in Israel, there are people that are still looking for a Messiah. They're still waiting around for the Messiah to show up. But she's looking for the Messiah, and that's part of her faith. That was part of the Old Testament, the prophecies, which we covered this morning. Stuff that said hundreds of years before this time, where there is a tracing of where the seed's coming from, where is it going to be born, things like that. All that stuff's laid out in the Old Testament, the timing of it in Daniel. So she is anticipating a Messiah, and that's part of her faith. She's aware and looking for the coming Messiah. That's part of her faith. Another part of her faith is behavioral in her relationships. And so the Bible says, and it's said of her, that she's a virgin, but she's a spouse. She's engaged to Joseph, but they're kept themselves pure. And so as far as her body is concerned, as far as she's concerned, she is a candidate for this birth of this Messiah here. So second, she honored the Lord with purity. That's just like that. That's behavioral. That's something it's a part of trusting what God said about marriage and things like that. And so you'll notice, I think you've noticed this probably, I've noticed this in my life, but a lot of times our desires have a way of preventing the Lord's blessing. Sometimes they have a way of leading us into direction that's not good. And, you know, you find yourself in a mess because you had an appetite for something that wasn't healthy. But she's a candidate. She's faithful. She keeps herself pure. And third is this. She honors the Lord through her obedience. As far as the law is concerned, looks like they are law-abiding citizens, and she is doing the things that are prescribed in the Old Testament. And so all of these things are part of her faith. All of this stuff is a part of her faith. It's all a part of her, who she is. And so the angel explains to Mary how this pregnancy is going to take place, and after asking how's this going to happen and getting an answer, well, nothing's impossible with God. It's like I said this morning, there's, I don't know, it's hard to live in this life and not, I don't know, if you don't even think about things, maybe it's easy, but there's stuff that's just unexplainable that happens in life, and supernatural things in the Bible or miracles are, they're supernatural, but it's like, you know, that stuff, it's not impossible to think about with the Lord. So that said, she's given this answer. She trusts God, and It seems like at that point in time when she says, I believe you, Lord, I believe whatever you say, I believe that. At that point in time, that belief is, that's faith expressed. And it seems like at that point in time, she is now pregnant with the Messiah, the Son of God, because immediately after this, the Bible says in verse 39, she goes into the hill country and goes to the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth, that's her cousin. Came to pass in verse 41 that Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe, but leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. She spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And so when she immediately leaves and goes to the hill country, apparently she's pregnant. She is pregnant at this point. And so it sounds like the pregnancy is recorded here with her belief. She trusts God, and now, you know, you've got a child now. So this is her faith. This is her faith, and this is her faith expressed in her life. Now, a little bit of the results of this. What happens? You go down to verse 45 to kind of wrap up this faith part. Mary says this and says, Blessed is she, actually this is Elizabeth says this, Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And that's the idea, that all through the Bible it is God speaking, people trusting. That's the response, that's the faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so Mary believes this, and what's the results of this? Well, she's pregnant now with the Son of God. And, of course, as we talked about, that causes some problems between her and Joseph for a little bit until Joseph realizes what's happening and he's told what's happening. But this is what the results are, or some of the results of this. Here's what Mary says. Verse 47, if you're following along. She says this. She says, And my spirit rejoiced, has rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. That's true. She's become probably the most famous lady alive or dead now, but most famous lady around. Verse 49, For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. Holy is his name. His mercy is on them that fear him, and from generation to generation. He has showed strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts, put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He's helping the servant Israel, his servant Israel, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. So this is part of what's called, I think it's some of the Magnificat or something like that, with Mary and her song and her praising of God after this. But this is the results. This is what she says. The Lord is magnified in my life now. He's magnified in my life. And you think about magnifying something, that is, you get a bigger picture of this thing. You see it bigger. You get a better view of it. It occupies more space, and she says, the Lord's done that in my life. He's now magnified in my life. I see him more clearly. I see more details about who he is. I'm learning about Jesus Christ, who will be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so the Lord is magnified in her life. That's what the first thing she says, my soul doth magnify the Lord. It reminds me of what John the Baptist said. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. That's the idea. And so the Lord's magnified in her life, and that's a good thing. Second thing she says is, I rejoiced in God my Savior. This is something that needs to be remembered by folks, because Mary is not a Savior. She needs a Savior, and Jesus Christ is her Savior. And she... we'll later talk about that, but she says it here as well. She says, I've rejoiced in God my Savior. Mary is a woman, and she's not deity. She is just a woman that is faithful and used by God in this way. And so Mary has a Savior, and that's important to know. So you understand Mary's not a Savior or a mediator in any sense. She needs a Savior. But better yet, she rejoices in her Savior. So the joy of the Lord is her strength. And that's good. The things that make God happy also make Mary happy. I rejoice in God, my strength. And so that's good. That's good. The next thing she says, these aren't financial statements, but they sound like them sometimes. He talks about blessed are the poor and things like that. That is not a that's not a financial statement. Many times it's said in the Bible, it talks about the meek and the lowly, the poor in spirit. Poor just means needy. Like I need, and not just needy in just a needy sense, but like needy, I need the righteousness of God. I need the words of God. I need this. And so the lowly and the poor in spirit, that's the attitude they come with. I need something from the Lord. I'm not self-sufficient. I need help. I need God's perspective. I need these things. So it's not a, like I said, it's not a financial statement when she says, blessed are the poor in spirit. That's not a financial statement. That's a statement of a spiritual condition of a person. They need something from the Lord. James says it this way, and it's a good way to remember it. It says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So he responds to that. He responds to humility. And so this is it's just a statement of a spiritual condition. And not only does he give grace in that sense, but he rewards the humble and he excludes the proud. That's what Mary would say. So the Lord is choosing humility, a poor spirit, a contrite spirit, a broken spirit, those hungering and thirsting really after righteousness. Jesus Christ would say that. He would say as much. He would talk about, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, or seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. So this is the idea. It's a spiritual condition of hungering and thirsting. That's why Jesus Christ is called the bread of life and things like that. He's likened to these things because it's a spiritual condition of a person. The rich, not necessarily a financial statement, it could be, but that's more a statement of, I don't need anything. I don't need anything from God. I'm not interested. I have everything I want. I have everything I need. And that's where you come to like the book of Revelation, and you've got Jesus Christ, and he's knocking on a door, and he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And the problem with the people inside is they don't need Jesus Christ. So the statement about the people inside the door that he's knocking on, the Bible says they're rich, they're increased with goods, and they don't have any need of anything, have need of nothing. That's the condition, that's the spiritual condition of the people that Mary's talking about. They don't need anything from God. They're not looking for any righteousness from God, not looking for any direction, perspective, anything like that. So the poor versus the rich, spiritual statements. And Jesus Christ would say this along those lines. He would say, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water, things like that. But it's not physical water. The Bible then says, this spake he of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, which they that believe on him should receive. So Mary she's got faith, just a few things about her life. She's a faithful lady. She is highly favored of God. Obviously highly favored because she's chosen to do this once in a, not even once in a lifetime, but once in a forever thing to birth the Son of God. And so she's highly favored because of her faithfulness. You looked at some of the things that characterize her faithfulness. And then some of the rewards or some of the things that went along with her faithfulness, some of those the results of her faithfulness. So a few things about Mary. Maybe you didn't know, maybe you did, but hopefully it's helpful, something to think about. And just another character, or not really character, these are people in history around the birth of Jesus Christ. So hope that's helpful. I'll pray. We'll wrap this up. And you guys have a great afternoon. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for these words. And I pray that you would help us make the applications that need to be made where they need to be made. Thank you for each soul that's here this afternoon. And pray you'd give us a good day, good rest of the week. And thank you for your words. Thank you for Jesus Christ. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.